James 2:26 reads, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am one of the pastors here. My name is Bryce. Today you just have me. Sometimes I will do a solo podcast like this if I'm dealing with a particularly technical point. And in fact, that is what we're dealing with today. We are considering kind of the counterpoint to what we talked about last week, if you heard that podcast there. As we continue our focus on good works, we were talking about a dangerous attitude toward good works known as, really, legalism. I'm not sure that I introduced that term last week, but that's what we were talking about. Legalism is an attitude toward good works where you believe you can be made right with God or justified on the basis of your good works. So legalism, there you have the idea of law, legal. So on the basis of keeping the law, God's standards, you are made right with God. Today we're talking about the counterpart to that error. There is another error on the other side of the ditch. This one is called antinomianism, which is, that's a lot of syllables. But the idea of antinomianism, nomos, that's law again. So legalism, I'm right with God on the basis of keeping the law. Antinomianism, on the other side of the ditch, the idea of antinomianism is if I'm made right with God through faith and not on the basis of good works, then who cares what kind of life I live? Who cares what works I do? Who cares about any kind of law or standard for me because I'm justified apart from works? So the works don't matter. That is also not true. So last week it was beware of good works. This week I title this episode, "You Must Do Good Works." They are necessary in the Christian's life, but it really matters the way you think about how they're necessary in your life. Now, to consider the role of good works in the Christian's life, the fact that they must be there, I want to bring together two parts of your New Testament that at first glance may have troubled you. This is Paul in Romans talking about justification by faith alone, like we discussed last week, and James, Jesus' half-brother, in James chapter 2, talking about justification not by faith alone, but by works. When you first encounter James 2, maybe you remember this experience. You've become a believer, you become familiar with Paul, justification by faith alone, the gospel. It's amazing. And then you read James 2, that can be actually a very shocking experience. Because Paul in Romans says things like this, chapter 3, verse 28, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." But James 2, for example, verse 24, "You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." So you go, what? Is it by faith alone and not works? Or is it by works and not by faith alone? Because I've got both of those here. So at first that can be troubling, but let me encourage you, these passages belong together in the New Testament. The confusion entirely rests upon the fact that Paul and James are fighting different battles and are using their terms a little bit different. We do this, they did this, they are human. It's inspired by God, but he wanted you to have both of their input. It is not contradictory. And what I want to demonstrate for you right now is that it's not contradictory by looking at Paul in Romans, James in James chapter 2. Now, the first thing I want to say is when you read Paul in Romans, this is what we talked about last week. He's fighting a certain battle. It is a battle against legalism. That's the side of error that he's battling against. The Judaizers were a group of Jewish teachers who were going around to churches that Paul helped plant in Rome. That was a case where Paul hadn't been there yet. But Paul felt a real burden for Christians, especially these new Christians in the fledgling church, who had these Judaizers, these Jewish false teachers come in. And the Christians, many of them were Gentiles with non-Jewish backgrounds. They trust in Christ, experience change. It's wonderful. Then the Judaizers come in and say, hey, you trusted in Jesus? That's wonderful. But it's not enough. because there are also certain works that you have to do to be made right with God. They are Jewish works, circumcision, keeping the law of Moses. If you don't do those specific works, you can't be made right with God. So they were adding to the basis of justification. That is legalism. So Paul is fighting that battle. So he phrases things in that context. That's the battle he's fighting. So in fighting against Judaizers who are adding to the basis of justification, it makes full sense that Paul would assert things like, we hold one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Justification by faith alone. And what he's saying is entirely true. It's not contradictory to James. We're going to see that. So you can keep that in your mind. That's 100% true. Justification by faith alone. When we talk of a basis of justification, he's fighting legalism. He's fighting Judaizers. So you trust in Christ like the thief on the cross, were his good works. If you need good works as a basis, circumcision, keep the law of Moses, then the thief on the cross could never go to paradise, but that very day he did, because we are justified by faith alone. Now, where do good works come in? They come in as a necessary part of one's salvation, but not as a basis of justification. Instead, they come in as a necessary consequence. I did warn you, this would be technical, right? They come in as a necessary, inevitable consequence of having believed truly in Christ. So if you are justified, you will do good works. Now listen, you might think, well, we got to go to James 2 for that. That's what he's all about, works. You're wrong. Paul in Romans, the same Romans we've been reading about justification by faith alone, he says this. Here's Romans chapter 6. At the beginning of it, Paul is actually addressing the very concern that James is focused on. And that concern is, if you tell people they're justified not on the basis of works, but by faith, won't people become antinomians? Won't they then live however they want to live and just say, well, we believe, so it's fine? Here's Paul's answer. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace, it's God's forgiving us freely through faith, that grace may abound? Sin more, more forgiveness, more grace, wonderful. So is that what we're supposed to think? Here is Paul, not James, but Paul's response. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So does Paul consider good works necessary when we're thinking about salvation? Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Does he consider good works the basis of our justification? Do good works and then you're made right with God? Absolutely not. No. Trust in Christ and you are made right with God. But notice Romans 6, then why don't we just sin all we want to if that's all it takes? Because if you trust in Christ, a change takes place in you. And he puts it there in Romans 6 as, we died to sin. We call that regeneration or rebirth. It is a fundamental change that takes place inside a person when you believe in Christ. It's part of that. So there's that change that happens. And so if you've really believed in Christ and been justified by that believing, by faith, you will see a change such that you are dead to sin and alive to righteousness. So good works will, they must, and they will follow because you are changed. So Paul is saying justification by faith alone, but there must be good works. They will follow if you're justified. Okay, that's Paul. And he's using language the way he is, especially because he's fighting the Judaizers. So he's speaking clearly against them. They say works are the basis of justification. Paul says no. But of course, there will be good works as a consequence, as the effect, what follows after justification. Now let's look at James 2. So like I said, at first it's shocking, you know, chapter 2, verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Hold up. Paul said by faith and not by works. James says by works and not by, doesn't say not by faith, but not by faith alone. which is important. But let me show you that although James is using language differently, he's saying exactly the same thing. I'm not making this up. You could go read it. He's saying the same thing. Let me show you this. Verse 18. So James 2, verse 18. I'm not going to read this whole passage in James 2. You can read it. But let me take, for example, verse 18. James says, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works." And then this is James' response to that person. "Okay, show me your faith apart from your works," which is impossible. I mean, it's not a thing you can look at, faith, you know, saving faith. Where is it? It's not a tangible thing, okay? So I can't see it. That's the point there. He says, "Well, I'll do something better, and I will show you my faith by my works." So if you have a person standing there saying, "Hey, I know my life's not changed. I live like everybody else lost in the world, but I have faith and so I'm justified." And James' response is, faith without any change in your life, it's just talk. It's just air. There's no substance. There's no reality to it. He says, real faith can be shown. See? So notice what he says about himself. "I will show you my faith by my works." So Paul is saying, you're justified on the basis of really the merit of Christ, but it's received through faith, not on the basis of works. But then works follow necessarily, Romans 6, because now you've experienced a change, you're dead to sin, alive to righteousness. James is saying that too. He's saying, "I'll show you my faith by my works." But the reason he's wording things differently is he's fighting a different battle. Paul's fighting the legalists, and James is fighting the antinomianists. He's fighting those who are saying, yeah, we're justified by faith so we can do whatever we want. Now remember, Paul was fighting the antinomianists too. That's what Romans 6 is. Should we say this? No. But it wasn't his predominant fight. It is James's. So James is fighting that heartily. People who say, "I have faith," he says, "show me your faith." He's not saying something different than Paul. Because notice in his language, "I will show you my faith by my works." He assumes there's an undergirding faith resulting in works. That's why, although you can't see faith, you can see someone's works. So he says, "I'll show you. Look at, you can actually see my works, and you can trace those down to faith." Which, of course, is what Paul's saying too. Faith leading to works. So James saying that, Paul's saying that. So there's faith leads to a change in your life, leads to good works. They agree on that. That's why, again, one of those easily misunderstood comparisons here. Paul, of course, in Romans 4 turns to Abraham, talks about how Abraham believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. That's before he was circumcised. That's apart from his works. So he believes and he's reckoned righteous. So that shows you that the basis of being made righteous or justified, the basis can't be works, can't be circumcision, he's not circumcised, can't be all these works that come later, because this is before all that. So, not legalism. Well, interestingly, James uses Abraham as well as an example to say that works are necessary. Verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his, Abraham's, works. And faith was completed by his works. What is James saying happened with Abraham? Not something different than Paul, even though the wording's different. Paul is saying Abraham, before he was circumcised, before he offered Isaac up, before he did all these works later, he believed, and Scripture says it was counted to him as righteousness. So that is when he's justified before God. Yeah. That's right there in Scripture. You can read that. But of course, Paul understands and teaches that Abraham, having been justified, his life was changed by an inner work of God's Spirit, and that's why later he does willingly offer his son up to God and follow God's covenant at that time through circumcision and all of the rest. So Paul and James agree, and that's Paul is pointing out the first part, justification by faith. James is heavily emphasizing the second part, although they both talk about it. The second part, which is Well, remember, Abraham, he didn't just say he trusted God and then stay in Ur and do nothing. All these works followed. He leaves his home, specifically in James. He's offering up his son to God. And James says, really what happened, faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. So there's this interplay where surely faith is underneath, and good works flow out of that faith. And to James, they're so connected that you can say all day that you have faith, but if there's no good works flowing out of it, it's just not a real faith. And that's the point for James. And that's what he says. That's the verse I quoted at the start, verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So the language can be confusing, but you see, James is talking about a dead faith. So if there's no works, it's a dead faith, which is another way of saying it's not faith. And Paul agrees. If there's no works, it's a dead faith, i.e. not faith, not real faith. James is just using language differently, but he's saying the same thing. James is saying, if you say you have faith but can't show me any works that flow from it, you have a dead faith, which is no faith. And Paul would nod his head in agreement. So they're fighting different battles, but they're both agreeing that although good works do not form the basis of our justification, and that is essential, they're both agreeing that good works are necessary as an inevitable consequence of being justified and hence being changed by God's Spirit. So you must do good works. If you don't do good works, if there's not a change that takes place in your life, Paul and James both agree. The Bible uniformly attests to the fact that you're not a true believer. Your faith would just be a dead faith. You know, something that's dead, it just lays there, it doesn't do anything. If you say you have faith, but that's the way your spiritual life looks, it just lays there, does nothing, affects nothing in any real way in your life, then it's just a dead faith. The Reformers said this very well. Even though for someone like Martin Luther, who was fighting Paul's battle against the Roman Catholic Church, he did not actually like the letter of James. In fact, he questioned whether it should even be in the Bible, called it an epistle of straw. That's because he misunderstood it. But if you look at what they're really saying, it's the same. But the Reformers had a great way of putting this. They said, we are justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone, because it always has good works with it. As we finish up this very technical episode, there are two applications of this. One is a warning, and it is if you look at your life, and there's no clear difference between what you would be if you did not have faith, if you were not a believer, if you were lost, didn't go to church, not a Christian. If there's no real clear difference between who you are now as a so-called Christian and what you would be if you didn't even claim to be Christian, that just means that you have, in the words of James, a dead faith. Or in the words of Paul, I guess, no faith. You are not a believer. You don't have the faith that justifies. You might have mental agreement with the Bible. Wonderful. It's a good first step. But if it's not changed you inwardly, then you're not a true believer. You've not experienced rebirth, which Jesus says, without that rebirth, no one can see the kingdom. So you need to trust in Christ. You don't need to do more good things and get better and fix up your life. Forget all that for now. That will be a consequence of trusting Christ. You need to get right with Christ. You need to trust Christ, be reconciled to God. That's step one. But secondly, as an application, there's an encouragement, which is if you are a genuine believer, you've seen those changes in your life, you know that it's not perfect yet. There's still more changes happening. We're still not perfectly sanctified, doing good works all the time. However, do not lose sight of the fact that if you're in Christ, good works are now natural to you. They were not natural to you outside of Christ, but now in Christ, this is a part of the new you. You have been recreated by God to be zealous for good works, Titus 2. So good works are now natural to you. There's still remaining corruption that's resisting and fighting, and we've got to deal with that by the power of the Holy Spirit. But don't lose sight of the fact that at essence, because you are a new creation in Christ, Good works, living a holy life and doing good works, are now natural to you. So walk now in what is according to your new nature, what is natural to you. Walk that out in doing good works. Now, you may be listening to this and that first application applies to you. You've not seen a change in your life. You've assumed you're a Christian because you know and you say the right things, but there's no clear change in your actual life. Or on the other hand, maybe you genuinely are a believer. There's real change in your life, but it's been an uphill battle fighting for those good works, and you've gotten discouraged, and you just look at yourself and say, I'm so sinful, I'm so corrupt, I'm so evil, I see my heart here. How could I ever do these good works, not realizing they are natural to you now? Whatever the case may have been in the past, may God help us all now by His grace to think this way.